salatu wassalam. The poet praising Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi is saying that actually that there he is giving the idea of a balcony, that there's a balcony of high status. For example, you have a balcony in houses and palaces. Say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a balcony where people who have very high status, like Anbiya and Awliya, Siddiqeen, only they are seen in that balcony. And in that balcony, even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that he is looking very much different, very much distinct in that balcony as well. His station there is completely different, difference of heaven and earth than the status of other people who have reached high status. So, and also he is saying that you should seek to bring a smile upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face by acting upon his deen, acting upon his sunnah. He said, when he smiles, it seems that all the doors of Jannah are opened. He says that this is the state of his smile, that if he does smile and he becomes happy, it's as though that the Jannah has opened all its doors and openings. And how much beautiful it looks. More than that is the smile of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those people who do Umrah, and mashallah, in the way which we are teaching to them, and they change their life, they inshallah can be one of those people who will bring smile upon the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they'll be able to see the smile if they actually follow the path of tazkiyah and ihsan. Anyway, now we move to the next part, which is the outward law, the fiqh of Islam. Firstly, we were discussing the fiqh, meaning the rules of the soul and spirit and the amal which you need to do. Now is the outward things which you need to do. So for Umrah, if you look at the screen, let's put it right here. Preparation for Umrah and Hajj. I'll be just going very briefly, because brothers have informed me that in this package, which is £2.50, they said they've also put six DVDs, one book for spiritual aspect, one for actually physics. So there's so much, and I was inshallah, and also what to do in Medina Sharif. So inshallah, do not worry if I don't go in detail, you have, but I'll just be touching on some necessary points. So preparation for Umrah, you need to be sincere why you are going. Are you going for business, holiday, or to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure? You should repent and clarify the baggage, previous baggage of sins, by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you, by asking people to forgive you, pay your debts and any dues, things which are upon you. Write and do wasiya, your will. This is sunnah, to do will before. Meaning, if you have any property, any debts, you write them down and give to someone, that's my accounts, etc. Make sure the money which you are using for Umrah or Hajj is for lawful, because then very base of it is, if it is unlawful, then spiritual benefits you can't receive. And try to choose, once you are there, company of good people, even though you don't just like them as normal, for example, but still they are more beneficial to you than the people you get on well with, but they are sinful people, they are going to harm you spiritually. Others might give, buy you a sandwich or something, but actually if they also give you a sandwich from shaitan, so that will outweigh actually the loss of others. So inshallah, choose the people of good company. They might be a little bit strict or hard, but they are the people who you want to be with whilst you are there. Preparation learn which you are doing, mashallah, the fiqh and the spiritual aspect, and some of the necessary du'as from Quran and the Sunnah, which will are in the leaflet I'll mention to you, inshallah. Also how to do Salatul Janazah, because almost every prayer have Salatul Janazah there. And Salatul Janazah, at least you should say Allahu Akbar 4 times. Don't just listen to the Imam, because when Imam say Allahu Akbar, you must say Allahu Akbar. If you don't say Allahu Akbar, your Janazah is not valid. If you don't know the Dua, still Janazah can be accepted. But Allahu Akbar, after first Allahu Akbar, Subhanakallahu bihamdika. Second Allahu Akbar, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala, the Durood Sharif which you read in the Salah. Third Allahu Akbar, Allahumma ufir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina. Or Rabbi Rabbana ufir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqoom al hisab, if you don't know that other dua. And fourth Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Sisters go there as well, they can participate in janazah there. Normally here they don't, but there they have opportunity, they can, there is no sin upon them. But no necessary, it is not necessary for them. Learn the etiquette visiting graves, and also learn some masail, how to travel, how the traveler prays the qasr or the salah. For example, you will be in many cases praying only 2 rakat of Zuhur, Asr, if you are praying alone. Try to pray with Jama'ah, then you don't need to worry about the Masail. Be extra vigilant in the airport, you don't lose any prayers. You are going to do a Umrah which is optional, and lose a Fard which is obligatory, then you've lost the point altogether. So in airport, be vigilant, what is the time of prayer. In the aeroplane, be in wudu. As soon as time comes, ask others, just do the prayer. Even if you have to do it alone, just do it. Don't wait for the jama'ah. In safar, jama'ah is not necessary. Whoever have time, just pray. Whoever will have do with jama'ah, that's good as well. You can join the prayer in safar, two together, according to Imam Abu Hanifa. Meaning, you can delay the Zuhur till the last time and pray Asr in the first time. Like this you can do as well. But normally, you cannot pray Zuhur Asr together in time of Zuhur. Except exceptional circumstances. Other Imam allows, there are some certain conditions for that. But normally this is the case. Anyway. Be mentally and physically prepared. Mentally, meaning think about the Umrah. Be already there spiritually. Think about that you are there, you want to be there. Don't be engaged in the matters of this world. And whilst you are there, the baggage, oh my work, what's happening? In the house, what's happening? What's happening is, all what will happen when you will be in the grave. Think you are in the barzakh now. You've gone into different world now. Your children will live, your work will carry on, business will carry on, whatever way, when you will die. So think, for 2 weeks you are on a death trip. A trip to Barzakh. No connection, nothing, what's happening. Nothing, there's not going to be end of the world. But if you carry mentally, what I'm saying to you, you mentally be there even you are here now. Rather than when you are there, you're thinking about phoning, etc. whatever. It's work of deen, that's different matter. This is spiritual work, deen and dawah. But actually just how others are doing, hello, we are in Kaaba Sharif now, hello, we are in Masjid, they know you are there. So they see every day in the pictures people go there. So they know. You talking to others will make you come out of there as well. Yeah. So they know, you pray for them, say salam for them, and say, you know, dua for them, and that's it. Physical preparation is also important. What people do is, after they, well, it happened to me as well, but I've learned lesson that to the last day you leave preparation, people are coming to visit you, you are going Umrah, bring this for us, bring this for us, and you're awake all night. And then you, after all night waking, last thing you remember, I have to pack up now, and then you are doing, then there's no proper time for ghusl, and you have to travel, so you're already mentally, physically drained, and the journey makes you more drained, and once you get there, you are out of the world completely. You are not there, you are not every anywhere. You just want to rest, and then there is a lot of temperature is high there. All these things come together, and you say, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling drained, feeling sleepy, not doing the amal, I'm not feeling well, I become ill. You made yourself ill by actually doing that. So what I advise people, pack your bags and prepare 1 week, 5 days, 6 days before. So everything is over. If you ever you want to meet them before. Last day, don't meet anyone. Just rest. 1-2 days before, rest sufficiently. And if you have 1 week, 2 weeks to travel, also walk so that you are used to walking long distances, because you have to walk there. Walk and rest 1-2 days before, so that when you are traveling, you are completely fresh. You survive the inconvenience of the journey, and there, alhamdulillah, you can live. And one other thing, well, people feel very weak. This is about physical preparation. Feel weak, drained, sleepy, tired, is because they lose many of the, things which are required for actually body to maintain its actually health. So people drink water, or they drink some energy drink which have like those special ingredients which top up your body with like wasted salts and all these things. Actually, if you drink that type of water with those things, you will stay fresh to some extent. But if you are, because of temperature and fever and the other things and all other matter, the hot weather, you lose those, and you are tired, you are in a new place, body is not, then by the time you get well, it will be time to leave. And then you say, next time I'll do this, but next time might not come, and this time is gone. So this is physical and mental preparation. Now these things which I am saying are important, because they will affect your performance actually there. Yeah. You feel tired and weak. So ask like the doctors and others for advice how you can replenish your meaning in these circumstances. Inshallah, they'll advise you better. Medically, you obviously need vaccination. That's a requirement of Hajj and Umrah. So packing, etc. You need necessary things. You don't need so many clothes there. 3-4 clothes are sufficient. 1 or 2 can be washable in the laundry. 1 or 2 you have, because on the way back you might buy gifts, and then you might think, I brought many things which I'm not using. There are 3 or 4 sets are enough actually, and very thin for warm weather actually. There, so it will have ease in the journey. Ihram, you don't need to buy, because we are going to Medina Sharif first, so you don't need to buy ihram. You can buy it from Medina Sharif, good ihram there. So you don't need to worry about the ihram, because we have planned from here how the tour operator. You see, as I mentioned to you, I have no as such direct connection with the tour operator, in the sense that is completely different person. They are doing on their own. I am concerned only with your spiritual and religious guidance as well. All other matters, they run away with your money or whatever, that's up to you and them. It's not anything to do with me. So, inshallah, those matters is between you. But spiritual, physical, and this religious guidance, I can give you. But the tour operator, how they have told me, is maybe they have told you as well, that we'll be going from here, from Manchester to London and then to Jeddah. Other option is that if going from here to Dubai, there's long waiting there. So here we don't have to wait in London, and we're still in UK. So 1 hour flight to London, as soon as we go there, 2 hours after, just about the time we go to Jeddah. And then from there we go to Madinatul Munawwara. So we don't need ihram. If you have, good and well. If not, you can buy there. Medication you can get from there as well. All these chemists here, they are there as well. But for necessary medication, whatever you want to take, you can take. Money you can change there, etc., etc. Belt, etc. to, as I say, look after your things. Clothes I already have mentioned to you. Slippers you need there, and sandals for Umrah, which are more like this. Or it shouldn't cover the middle bone of the feet, but not for women, meaning they can wear anything. You can buy it from there, the slippers, and don't take expensive slippers there, because you might actually go for in the mosque, and every time you come out, maybe your shoes or whatever are not there. So don't put your expensive one in the hotel, and buy some normal ones so that they are last. You are not then grieved for one day over those your shoes, because you don't want to spend time thinking about other important things. So, inshallah. Now, this is very important. A patience there in this journey. As I always see people come back. Actually, the groups, the relatives, the couples, the husband and wives, mostly not happy with each other, because shayateen are working there. People are living together, and then they're fighting over petty things. Your timing is not there, the hotel is not there, airport you have to wait, you lose transport. Many things happen there. You need to be as patient. You are not for luxury or comfort. If you got, alhamdulillah. If not, then you just be patient. Don't quarrel and dispute with people. Patient, just stop yourself, meaning think that shaitan is trying to waste your spiritual benefits, and I just be patient. People will push you, people will swear at you, people will not give you what they've asked, what they've promised, and things like this happen. That's not the place to solve your these matters. So that's now we come towards the this is for people who are going for Umrah and back to Makkah. They have to wear do the intention ihram before this boundary. So normally then they, for example, wear the ihram from here or Dubai, etc., etc. We will be coming from Medina Sharif, and we will be wearing ihram there. So you don't need to worry about that. We will be coming from Dhul Hulaifa, and it's in Medina Sharif. Once we come from there, we will be wearing ihram from Makkah and from Medina or here, inshallah. This is the boundary anyway for other people as well for Makkah. Allahu Akbar. So inshallah, these are others, we don't need to know that for other people. This is when you want to do Umrah. Again, you have to go to like Masjid Aisha, which is called Tan'im, and do put ihram on. That was to just to enter like Dhul Hulaifa. You see this big circle, you enter with the ihram when you come from outside. This is the big circle. Jeddah, Dhul Hulaifa, and Abu, for other people coming from outside. Once you are in Makkah, Mukarramah, and you need to do another Umrah, then you go to these points which are written here. Hudaybiyah, Jirana, Nakhla, Arafah, then you go to these points. The nearest one is called Masjid Aisha, which is called Tan'im also. So If you want to do extra umrah for your father, mother or whoever, so you go here and put ihram, come and do umrah. So remember, actually, that this is the boundary for the people who are already in Makkah, and this is the boundary coming from outside. The haram of Makkah, you see, all this place, the boundary is sacred, in that you are not allowed to do certain things, and it's also marked as well. A sin done outside the haram, 70 sin done outside is almost equal to one done in haram. Here, once you are in haram, even if you make intention for sin, you get punishment. Outside, if you make intention, you don't do it, there's no punishment. But in haram, the sacred area, even if you intend, this is also sin. So you be extra vigilant there. Kaaba is there, and city of Makkah, and Arafah here, Mina, and all Muzdalifah, and all these places. So limits of haram of Makkah. These are the limits of haram of Makkah. The Na'im, actually. They are marked very, very, like with these boundaries, beginning of haram boundary. But you will be mostly in Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif, so you will be in the boundary anyway. So whilst you are there, you even can't cut plants, must not be cut. No, for example, be frightened, animals, even animals, you know, not should be frightened. What about people who are frightening people by actually, you know, being harsh with them and or actually fighting with them or disputing with them. So this is a lesson that if we are not too weak, cut the plants when we are cutting the hearts of people there, what to say about those people? Ki jo logon ke dil ko kaat rahe hain, to jab wahan koi drakht bhi nahi kaat sakte ho, jo dilon ko kaat rahe hain, meaning so patience. And articles lost must not be picked up except by someone making announcement to find the owner. And arms, etc., these do not apply to you, and or you should have any arms as such. That these restrictions apply to haram of Medina as well. They apply to everyone, whether in state of ihram or not, during any time of the year. So this is a separate masala. So this I don't need, inshallah. Dua for travel, like the famous dua for travel, Subhanallah, Risakharana, once you go, try to travel in the sunnah way. Now we come towards the actual umrah performing. In umrah, there are two things which are fard, two things which are wajib, necessary. Four are necessary, you may say. Ihram, wearing those white chadars, and ihram is the name of intention. For women, there is no scarf or anything, no, their normal dress, they make intention of ihram. They don't have to wear any special dress for that. Ihram is not the name of the chadars and the mantle, the cloth. Ihram is the name of intention. Once you say, I am in ihram, I do intention. Second farz is tawaf. Seven circles in the tawaf. Some are farz, some are wajib, but anyway, tawaf is farz part. Sa'i between Safa and Marwa, and halaq, the shaving of the head. Shaving of the head, what that refers to is, you are newborn. Newborn baby get their head shaved. You also have been reborn into the world of piety, newborn. You are new in the world of piety. ये जो सर के बाल मंडवाते हैं ना, ये बच्चों के मंडवाते हैं, इसलिए कि वो दुनिया में आए होते हैं. ये आप भी गुनाहगार जिंदगी छोड़ के नेकी की जिंदगी में आ रहे हैं. सर के बाल मंडवा देने हैं और दाढ़ी के बाल छोड़ देने हैं. खलक डजंट मीन यू शेव बियर्ड एंड हेड, बट व्हाट इट मीन्स इज शेविंग द हेड एंड लीविंग द बियर्ड, लेट इट ग्रो, द सुन्ना ऑफ रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम. Women just trim their hair a part of like one inch, they just actually do that. So before putting on ihram, do these things. Before you get into ihram, you can do these things. You should clip your nails, mushtas, whatever, remove any unwanted hair, take a ghusl, because now you won't be able to do these things. After that, you are restricted. So you put perfume on your body, head, beard, put ihram on you. Pray two rakat. So after putting ihram, pray two rakat of sunnah, nafal of ihram. Then make intention of ihram. And now, from this point now, you are in state of ihram. You are in state of ihram, there are certain restrictions apply on you. Talbiyah is the what you start reciting after making intention. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika. This is something you should remember by heart. So three times you recite talbiyah and you continue it until you see the Kaaba. Until you see the Kaaba, this is your dhikr. So during the journey in the coach and bus, keep reciting talbiyah, and in new place come, descending, ascending during the travel. Joining a party of people after every salah, or collectively reciting talbiyah, you can do that as well. After every salah, morning and evening, aloud. This is the time to actually say it aloud. The sunnah for women to have shower and before ihram, a woman in any their special period days, they also take a shower and assume ihram, but do not pray two rakat nafal. So women, it's very important. You as husbands, they should teach, mention to them, because these masail for them are necessary. So let's say they are not in state of purity, they are in menses period, and were nifas, whatever. What they do is take shower and do intention of ihram, but don't pray two nafal. So they can perform umrah, make intention of umrah, but they won't pray the two nafal. They can't go into the haram, into the Kaaba Masjid al-Haram until they are pure, and then they perform these things. Men cannot wear sewn clothes which are sewn, such as shirt, or turban, or hooded cloak, etc., trousers. Women can wear their normal clothes, but without covering their faces or hands. So women should not cover their face or hands. What is forbidden to wear during the state of ihram is not stitched material in themselves, but those garments that are made to fit the limbs and are usually worn by people in normal states, such as shirt and pants. You should not wear gloves, although there is no harm in wrapping the hand in cloth. Men cannot cover their head with something that touches it. So men in ihram shouldn't actually wear cap or turban after. Khushbu and fragrance should not be put on yourself or your clothing whilst you are in ihram. But if you put fragrance before and the effects of that remains after, that is fine. No intimacy of husband and wife, especially in the state of ihram, because everything actually is now sacred and you should be diverting your attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. No removing of any hair or cutting any hair of the body or clipping any hair before after you finish the umrah. No clipping of nails. You should not even kill lice in the temple. You shouldn't be bad or making marriage proposal for yourself or others whilst in ihram. After ihram, before ihram, if you pre-arranged or after, good and well, you can do that. There is a blessing there to be married there, etc. But in ihram, no, nothing. hunting. In old times, people used to, they didn't have much, but they used to hunt and live by. But in state of ihram, you shouldn't. You should not kill animals except very harmful animals or that would attack people, such as mice, snakes, and scorpions. Yeah. There are certain, after restrictions, if you do a mistake or violate the condition, there are certain kafara to pay. For wedding, there is no fidya. Camel or cow was fidya, or sex intercourse before first Dhul Hajjah, tahallul, or in state of ihram. Hunting an animal, and then there are choices between 3 days of fever. These are masail for cutting hair, putting on perfume. You should ask or learn on the spot and ask ulama there, because anything happened to you. There's no harm in using an umbrella, roof of car or tent for shade. You can do that. Wearing sandals that do not cover the top part of the raised area of the, you can wear that. Wearing a hearing aid or speech aid. And then some other things. So now we come to, inshallah, once you go to Masjid Haram, this is the overview. These are the two mountains, Safa and Marwa, and this is where you do Tawaf. And these are the gates which you should remember in case you get lost or you know where you are coming from. Babu Salam, Babul Fath, Umrah, people go Umrah, they go to normally through this gate, Babul Fahad and Babul Abdul Aziz, the main gates of the Haram. Just outside the Haram, this is the birthplace, the Mawlid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the birth, the Wilada of Rasulullah sallam happened here. There is a building there now as well. It's just outside the mosque. A person can visit that as well, if they wish so. Masjid-e Haram is very, very, obviously you have seen, it is the name of this sacred mosque. Inside there is Kaaba. This is the door of the Kaaba. This is the black stone where you kiss in the black stone. If you have a opportunity, with every circle which you make, every tawaf, if you cannot, and a person should not try to kiss the Kaaba, the black stone, whilst pushing or harming or being harmed by people, they can just point at the Kaaba and actually kiss their hand. They get the same benefits as such. This is a place called Muqam-e Ibrahim, where Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he used to stand upon a stone, his footprints are there, and he built the Kaaba. Here we pray 2 rakat nafal after tawaf. Any place here, you can pray any place in the Masjid Haram. But the more closer it is to the Muqam-e Ibrahim, the more better. But if there are people doing tawaf there, or too many people, then don't actually disturb them, just go behind and pray anywhere. This is called Hijr-e Ismail. In one riwayah it mentioned Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam is buried there. It's the qabr of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, and many of the Anbiya alayhi salam there. This place is the part of Kaaba. This place here, this wall is boundary of the Kaaba. The Kaaba was originally, its original shape is this. But because actually, once due to the flood, it was rebuilt, and the people didn't have enough pure money, halal money, so they didn't complete the Kaaba. They just, whatever halal they had, they actually built, and Kaaba is now there. But the benefit of that is that you can go inside the Kaaba through this, there is a alleyway here, it's as though you are inside the Kaaba, once you are in the boundary of this Hijr-e Ismail. And when you do tawaf, you go around it, you don't go from the inside circle. So now you can see the number one, this is called the corner of black stone, Hajr-e Aswad. Number two, called Yemeni corner, it's pointing towards Yemen. Number three, Shami corner, pointing towards Syria. Iraqi corner.
So yeah.
And Zamzam is here.
So yeah.
And after doing tawaf and drinking the Zamzam, you go to the Safa for Sa'i. So that is the place there. That's where you should be going after. So now, just to summarize it, the door is where you pray, do dua after doing tawaf here. Black stone is from where you begin your tawaf. It's very, very important to know where it is, because that's from where your tawaf will begin and end. The Maqam Ibrahim, which we cover, the Yemeni corner, where you can actually touch it as well, once you are close to it. It is sunnah to touch this corner, not to kiss this corner, to touch this corner, the Yemeni corner. And this is the part of the Kaaba, the Ismail, Iraqi and Shami corner. These are some past pictures. So once you arrive there in the mosque, you say, Allahumma aftahli, Bismillahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa sallim alayhi, Allahumma aftahli abwaaba rahmatik, and you pray the dua, and then you proceed toward the Kaaba Sharif. When you see the Kaaba, raise your hands if you want to, as it is established by from Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The du'as, this is a place where du'as are accepted, the time du'a is accepted. So once you see the Kaaba, do du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may make du'a with whatever you wish. As they say, the best thing to ask Allah is Allah Himself from Him. One is you ask things, oh Allah, give me money, give me this. One is that you ask Allah from Allah. If you have Him, you have everything. Other people asking creation, you ask Allah. I ask from you, yourself. I want your closeness. You become mine and let me become yours. So this is... Okay, now the summary. Tawaf-e Qudum, that's for people of Hajj. But what you do is the... Arrive at Masjid Haram, you go to the black stone and do the tawaf seven times, do the circuits of the tawaf. Istiba is actually that the men, they in the beginning they keep their right shoulder empty, meaning naked from the Yemen. And also Ramal is the meaning that they do it in a jogging way, some of the circuits. They pray two rakat, this is summary of, and drink Zamzam. So this is the black stone. If you can kiss it, good and well. Get into the line and you can kiss it. Or if not, you can touch it. If not, you can just point it from the... So some of the instructions, excellent reward mentioned there, that Rasulullah said that Allah will raise up this stone on the day of judgment, and it will have two eyes with which it will see, and a tongue with which it talks with, and it will witness in favor of everyone who touched it in truth. So this Hajar-e Aswad is going to witness and testify in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith in Imam Zahabi, Imam Tirmidhi, touching the black stone and the Yemeni corner removes sins. It has the power of absorbing sins from you. That's why it has become black, absorbing sins of mine and yours. Otherwise it was shining like light when it came from Jannah. So it has the, it's like actually you touch it, and your sins actually go there. It absorbs. It has this natural effect. Another hadith, the black stone is a form, is from paradise, and it used to be whiter than snow, but the sins of the idolaters turned it black. So some of the so this is what we have actually mentioned already, that how you do tawaf and how, where you begin it from and how you do it. So ramal meaning a strong and quick walk with boldness, in which the shoulders are thrust, for this is for men only. And istiba mean keeping the right armpit and over the left shoulder naked from ihram throughout the seven circuits. So ramal is in the first three rounds. First three rounds you are walking like actually with boldness. This is a memory of the Sahaba Rizwanul Ajmaheen, because when they first came for Umrah, when Mushrikeen were looking at them, they did tawaf like an army, like warriors. So they walk like warriors, and their memory is kept now actually in the first three circuits, that you walk like a warrior. You also come for spiritual warfare now. There is no physical war, there are no mushrikeen who are watching you, but shayateen are watching you now. Shayateen are looking at you, oh, these people coming, we are going to destroy them. And you show them that no, you come to actually fight the spiritual war, you are going to be steadfast and abstain from sins, etc. So tawaf of the Kaaba, if you see, it begins from here. There is a start line. So you go in front of the black stone, you make intention, and from there you start and finish. So the tawaf goes like this, anti-clockwise here. Why it is like this? Because really when we see clockwise, because you've been seeing clock going toward this side from the beginning, you think this is opposite. Really the clock is going unnaturally. The natural system of the universe is like this, it's going anti-clockwise. Look at the sun, how it revolves around the galaxy. In the galaxy, it's going like this. Look at the earth, how it's going around the sun, like this, not clockwise. Look at the moon, how it is revolving around the earth, anti-clockwise. And even look at the subatomic world, like our atomic world, the proton, neutron, electrons, they are also revolving around actually like this, around the nucleus. So natural system is this. This clock part, they made it opposite. This is really anti-one, anti-natural system. This is really, so, but because you always seen it like this, you come conditioned and you, this is the right way actually to do. No, the natural, even the universe, everything is going like this. Even the earth on its orbit, like a ball, it's on an axis, it's revolving around like this. Because of the, that's why we get seasons and things, as they say, or day and night come. How is the earth? One is it's going around the sun like this. Second, on its axis also it's going like this actually. Not like this or... So this is the real way, because you are going, starting from right, and you are coming actually towards right as well. And moreover, why you do tawaf here like this? Because the face, the tajalli from Allah subhanahu coming on the Kaaba, and once you do it on left side like this, your heart is more closer to the Kaaba. You see, when you are standing like this and you are going around, your heart, who is receiving the pass, is closer to the Kaaba. Is not the distant one. Your heart is on the left. There. Some people asked one of the mashayikh, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is the heart on the left? They said because of the Kaaba, because of the universe system is like this. The tawaf was going to be like this, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it there to receive the fuzar from there. Because if it was on the right side, then it would be unnatural to actually for whole of the system. Even the blood circulates in the body in this way as well. And there are other things as well. But anyway, If someone says that, why do you tawaf anti-clockwise? This is the natural way to do. Everything is doing ibadah like this. So you are synergizing with all the universe. Look, the galaxies in the universe are going doing ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going like this. Their ibadah is tawaf. They are going around the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the solar system itself in the galaxy is also doing worship by actually orbiting like this. Then the sun itself is going like this. Then the earth is going like this. Then the moon is going like this. Then you are also joining the whole of the creation like this. And even the atomic world is going like this. So you are synergizing, you are joining all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do it clockwise, you will be the only one you are going opposite in the creation of Allah. Or the other is your clock. So yeah. So this is the tawaf and the about safa. So now alhamdulillah, you should be able to recognize these are four or five important points. The black stone point, the door of the Kaaba, Muqami Ibrahim, and the four corners. A state of wuzu is required for all kinds of tawaf. Women in menses does not make tawaf until she becomes clean. Intention, you do not have to say your intention loud to begin tawaf, but make intention and silently make intention, you can do. All kinds of tawaf, including optional, consist of 7 circuits and praying 2 nafal after every tawaf. Even nafal rakat is wajib, is necessary. The Kaaba should be on your left side. Do not do tawaf with your back or right to the Kaaba. Do not walk backwards. Whilst you are doing the tawaf, if you turn your chest towards the Kaaba or back, you have to repeat that part again. Otherwise your tawaf will not be valid. You can't look at the Kaaba during the tawaf. You don't look at the Kaaba, eyes down. And if you can't look at the Kaaba, what to say about other people, what they are doing, who is here, what are the women doing? Women are from all around the world. Don't look at them, because it will destroy the benefit of your nur, which is coming to you. The nur coming to you from the Kaaba, you're giving to the women, going out to them. So you will be empty. Or other people looking uselessly. Or much more worst is being on mobile phone during the tawaf actually. So yeah. So don't even, you are not allowed to look at the Kaaba, because Kaaba is not God, is not Allah. We don't worship Kaaba. And tawaf is ibadah. Tawaf is ibadah, is worship. So we do worship of Allah, not the Kaaba. So yes. Now you can touch the Yemeni corner, as I said before, which comes before the Hajri Aswad. Do not face your hand to the Yemeni corner and say Allah Akbar, this is only for black stone. No touching Shami corner, no touching Iraqi corner, any other corner. And there is a Sunnah dua to read from the Yemeni corner to the black stone. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. This is dua, which is Sunnah, which you read there. Why it is said this? Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Allah, give us good in this life and good in the hereafter, and save us from the punishment of fire. So it is saying that we should be like this. We shouldn't be the people like say, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa atina fid dunya hasana. But we shouldn't say, for example, Allah give us good in this life and the good in this life. Only we asking dunya. Oh Allah, give us the goodness of dunya and goodness of dunya, but goodness of akhirah. Aise logon mein mat bane jo yahi hai unke dil mein dunya hi aayu, bas sirf yahi. Achha, continue the tawaf without interruption unless it is necessary. When it is time for obligatory salah, you stop the tawaf join the salah wherever you are, you can begin the tawaf from there. Or carry on the tawaf if you wish. If you need to go to a restroom, you may interrupt your tawaf and go make wudu before coming back and resume your tawaf from the same where you left the same circle. If a person needs to do wudu or anything like this. If you are doubtful how many circuits you have done, because many people, they almost do 15, 10, and still they are not sure, because they are guessing. They are still walking and guessing, I think one more. And I know some people did 13, and still so it's better actually either do it with someone or get that tasbih which they give you, which have like the 7 pieces, too, so that you can actually. So, but if you become doubtful, perform, you have to base your decision on the least number of circuits. For example, if you have doubts whether you did 6 or 7, base it on 6 and add 1 circuit. Simple. If you get doubts after you finish your tawaf, then just ignore it and do not act upon it. After tawaf, where you come, this place is called Multism, where Rasulullah ﷺ did dua, and duas are accepted there. So if you can get any place here near the door on the left side, it's called Multazam. It is sunnah to do dua. If there's so many people, go anywhere else. You see, all these people you see around the Kaaba, Rasulullah ﷺ said, more than the Kaaba, these people are sacred. My ummah, the honor of my ummah, the life of my ummati is more sacred than the Kaaba. So, if someone is touching the Kaaba, that is sacred. If you can touch your brother, that is even more sacred. So why you have to push him away to go to less sacred thing? A Kaabe ki diwar hai, musalman ka haat, wo usse bhi afzal, Allah, musalman ka darja. For because Muslim is already always with you, you don't value it. And those people who live there, Kaaba is always there, they don't value the Kaaba. This is how people sometimes behave. People there, they don't value the Kaaba as people who go from outside. Muslims are living with you, good people, righteous people, you don't value them. There, touching them is more blessed than the Kaaba. Because the Kaaba is giving this message. Look at the Maqam-e Ibrahim, which is a stone which touched the feet of Hazrat Ibrahim and his foot there. So this means Anbiya, Awliya, Muslim, their honor, their life is more, you may say, sacred than, or at least equal to the Kaaba, or more. So don't push people. Even you stay away from one of the Mashaykh, actually, they went, there were too many people, and he didn't go forward for the Hajar-e-Aswad and things. He said, I'll give preference to people. He saw spiritually the Hajar-e-Aswad and the spirit, Ruh of the Kaaba coming to him. Hajar-e-Aswad khud unko iski taraf chal ke aa raha. Uski jo Ruh hai, wo unki taraf aa rahi. So it's not restricted, inshallah. So don't push and harm people, but just try your best as much as you can. So inshallah you can. Go to Multism and pray. But if you miss there are so many people, give them the preference. Just touch them. Touch their backs. Alhamdulillah. They are also blessed. Like the Kaaba. Come back. Maqam-e Ibrahim. This is what it gives you. Lesson. You pray two nafal near the Maqam-e Ibrahim. If it's not possible to pray, you can pray anywhere in the masjid. So don't actually restrict yourself there. This is Maqam Ibrahim which I was touching. There is no feet of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, but just the footprints. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it so much a blessing because of the footprints of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then you go to Zamzam, you drink water, it is sunnah at the time of after that you again come towards last time towards Kaaba and kiss the Hajar-e-Aswad and then go towards the Safa and Marwa and do Sa'i. So easy to there, only you to complete 7 laps in the same manner. meaning from Safa to Marwa is one, from Marwa to Safa two. Not some people do 14 there as well, because they think that one complete Safa to Marwa and Marwa is one. No, that is two. So one each side that equals to one part. So there's some du'as which you can. So this is the mountain of Safa, or a symbol of the mountain of Safa. People are resting to start, or at least they're finishing.
Alhamdulillah. So is there kuch du'ae hai? So we now leave this part.
After Safa and Marwa, you actually do halq, meaning trimming or shaving the head, or woman trimming the hair, and then you are out of ihram. Alhamdulillah, your umrah has been done. So summarizing again, fard acts of umrah, ihram, tawaf. Wajib acts, necessary acts, running between Safa and Marwa, shaving of the hair or trimming. And this is the procedure, performing ghusl, offering two rakat for ihram, reciting talbiyah three times, kissing the Hajar-e-Aswad, doing ramal in first three circuits, meaning walking boldly like soldiers and mujahideen, istiba, covering up left shoulder and back whilst right shoulder is entirely exposed in tawaf. The procedure of umrah, put on the ihram before, this we have gone through already. Then it's the visit to Madinatul Munawwara, which is in the leaflet, and I have explained what to do there. But inshallah, up to now, if there is any question, we stop here and inshallah answer any question which you have regarding the physical part, how to do the umrah. You have to recite anything whilst you're doing tawaf? Yes, you do. You can do any dhikr like Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, Durood Sharif, any prayers. And the one special prayer which I mentioned, Rabbana Atina fi dunya, from one corner, the Yemeni corner, to the black stone. This is, which is written here, inshallah, in the leaflet. The most important part is that when you get there, how you do it, whether inshallah, if practically with your chadar, you can just show it. Imagine that this is the this is the corner where the, for example, Hajar-e-Aswad is. So you are coming from there. So how you will make your intention? So firstly, you will have your normally you will have ihram on your both shoulders. No, firstly wear on both shoulders like this. You will have, that's how you will have. But as soon as starting the tawaf, before you will get your right or shoulder exposed. So you put it under like this, and yes, on top. And it's as though you're coming from haram, from there, entering the mosque, to the corner, which is the Hajar-e-Aswad corner. Let's see if we can bring it here to show you. So as though you are coming towards actually this part here now. So now he will be coming. So here is the back stone. So you will be coming from that direction. When you come, you face the. Yeah, they can hear likha hua. If you will study the leaflet in English and Urdu, very clearly it will be written. Let me find the point number which you will. So, point number 9 on the leaflet will have this. Go straight to the Hajar-e Aswad, stop reciting Talbiyah, do istiba, meaning place the middle of your ihram under your right arm and the end of it to the left, so the right is empty like this. After that, you position yourself facing the Kaaba, but little bit on the right side here, left side, either your left side. Yeah, you won't stand exactly in front of the corner, but they'll be there just as the Kaaba is there. So it's written Hajar-e Aswad just on your right side. So now you are standing, and Hajar-e Aswad is just on your right side here, standing there. After that, making intention of Tawaf of Umrah. So you will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, I do intention of the Tawaf of Umrah. So you will be coming there, standing there. Be very, very short time you can stand, not very. So you will just making intention of the Tawaf of Umrah. And then you move slightly to the right now, exactly that as though you are facing the Hajar-e Aswad, and say Bismillahi Wallahu Akbar. And actually the full one actually, and raise your hand like you raise in the prayer like this, and put them. This is your intention you've done, and you say Allahu Akbar Walillahi Alhamd, and actually you put your hand down, down and down, down. So after that, actually, you now point at the Hajar-e Aswad. It's as though you want to kiss it, but you are far away from it, so you actually just point your hands and kiss, and then turn on the right like this, on the same place on the right, and then you start walking with your eyes down around the Kaaba. It's written very clearly there. Let me see if it's. Make intention of Tawaf of Umrah, move slightly towards the right to stand facing Hajar-e Aswad, then raise both hands up to the ears and recite Bismillah Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illa Wallahu Alhamd. Kiss Hajar-e Aswad if you can, if not just point, and then actually start the 7 circuits. You can recite 3rd Kalima, it's written there as well. So on every circuit, when you come to this place, you actually as though kiss the Hajar-e Aswad or point at. And first 3 circuits, as I have said, you do it like a warrior, walking boldly, like a jogging way, like a warrior, first 3, like this.
Point.
Yes.
It's about cutting off the hair, because I have heard many people do it whilst they're in ihram, at the end of the Safar Marwah, they shave their own head or cut the hair. It's clear, clarified that you don't suppose.
You see, a person who is in state of ihram, he cannot shave his own or actually anyone else's. The person your friend can shave or cut your hair who is not in ihram, maybe he's just there, so he can. So you cannot do that.
When do you put the ihram on? Is it before you go to the airport, or do you do it after you've landed?
Right. We have covered the boundaries of miqat, which we said, from people who are going from here, if they are going directly to Makkah Sharif, then they put it in the aeroplane either from here, or if they are changing over in Dubai or wherever, they put a ihram from there. They shouldn't leave it to Jeddah, because actually then they are violated. Or like we are in this case going to Medina Sharif, we don't need to worry about ihram altogether. We straight go to Jeddah, and from there to Medina, to Manawara, and from there we will put ihram when we need to come to Makkah. Yeah. So inshallah, don't worry if you don't understand, you can ask whilst you are in journey. Or this, look at this, put this screen on him. Yeah. Illustrated Umrah guide, which also given you in a leaflet, it has very clearly signed out these things, a procedure, what you do, step by step approach, what you read, how to do the niya, the talbiya, entering the mosque, and the where those things are, sacred things, Safa and Marwa, Tawaf, how you begin it, what you read, etc. during it, meaning the full procedure, and the du'as which you need to know, 5 or 6 important du'as. You don't need to do that. Many people carry very thick books. I don't think they can read anything from there as such actually, or understand. So you need simple like this recitation, and then at the end of the leaflet is step-to-step guide. Very easy. Take a bath, wear the ihram, pray 2 nafal, proclaim that niyyah, do the talbiyah 3 times, read dua of entering mosque, make dua to see the Kaaba, perform tawaf, 2 rakat near Maqam Ibrahim, drink zamzam, the running between Safa and Marwa, get your head shaved, take off your ihram, umrah complete. You see, simple. These things which are in red, they are the fard things. The yellow they've changed, it's actually it's tawaf, and yeah, they are the fard, and others are wajib, wearing ihram. They've not color coded it. These, the pink one, the orange ones, these are the wajibats. So the red ones, red color is the fard thing which are, if you don't miss, you, your umrah is invalidated. These in the pink one, the orange one, sa'i and head, if you miss that, you have to pay a penalty, but your umrah is valid. And the green ones are the sunnah, the sunnah, meaning the prophetic sunnah. So inshallah, do not worry, you have this. You have 6 in that pack which they are going to give you, 6 DVDs to preparation, the spiritual guide, and then also a guide for Madinatul Munawwara, what you do there, etc. In the leaflet form, so very brief. And inshallah, because now there is sufficient time up to 7th April, you can come on any gathering again. Individually, any brother will go through you. For example, you want someone to go individually, a brother will sit with you upstairs or wherever, and he will go individually to practically show you, so that you are 100% sure, at least theoretically, what you have to do. Yeah. Or put any more questions about that aspect? Okay, then finally, this is now regarding Madinatul Munawwara, just to introduce you basically to the city of light of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is one of the old pictures of Masjid-e-Nabawi, when there used to be trees even in Masjid-e-Nabawi. Anyway, Haram of Medina is also marked, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned certain virtues of Madinatul Munawwara. It is the land of the Prophet's migration. Its people are his neighbors and supporters. It is the abode of faith. Its entrances, there are guardian angels. Neither the Dajjal nor the plague will be admitted to it. This is mu'jiza of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and karama of his city, that the Dajjal will enter every place. It will go near the Medina Sharif outskirts, it won't be able to enter there. It will be the last city in the world to be reunited, meaning to be destroyed. it is the land of revelation. So it is the last city will be remaining. And merits of Medina, Rasulullah SAW mentioned many, many merits, so you can read that. And let's see, these are some of the prayers of Rasulullah SAW which he taught and did himself about Medina. He said, "O Allah, make Medina as dear to us as you made Makkah dear or more," in the hadith. "O Allah, increase in Medina twice the blessings which are in Makkah." This is a prayer of Rasulullah. So Makkah is sacred, but Medina should get double blessings of the Rasulullah's dua. And he said, "Let him die in Medina who can do so, because I will intercede for him on the day of judgment." The only two masjid in Medina to visit with the intention of performing salat are the Masjid of the Prophet and Masjid Quba. This is one of the mosques in Medina Sharif which Rasulullah used to visit. Masjid Quba, the first mosque of Islam in Medina Sharif. This is the fourth most sacred mosque in the world. Makkah Mukarrama, Kaaba Sharif, then Medina Sharif, Masjid Nabawi, Masjid Aqsa, and then Masjid Quba, the fourth one. So one can go there. So Masjid Nabawi, there are certain merits for to be perform actually nawafil or prayer, like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one of the hadith, that the Prophet said that it is prayer salah in this mosque is equal to 1,000 salat elsewhere. In one riwayah even it's more. So salah in the expansions in the mosque also have the same status. And this hadith about performing, the person who offers 40 prayers consecutively in my mosque without missing a prayer in between will secure immunity from the fire of hell and will be saved from torments and also from hypocrisy. This is blessing which you get if you perform 40 prayers consecutively in the mosque. So you are there, so you pray 40. This is one fazila. So it is mustahab to do so. So, inshallah. This is a place called Rauza Sharif, Riyadul Jannah, where Prophet ﷺ said, "The place between my mimbar and my house is the garden of paradise." So a person who can or have opportunity to pray nawafil there, you don't get placed there very easily, but if you can, it is very blessing. It's as though you prayed in Jannah, actually, you prayed there. So this is a hadith of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. The space between my house and my pulpit is Rauda, one of the gardens of Jannah. Ye dekhen zara ye aage chala jata hai, or you know. So this is called Riyazul Jannah. This is in front of the mosque, really. Now this is just an overview so that you know what is there. This is to give you idea. This is the where the green dome is. In that green dome, there is a grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grave. And this is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, this is Sayyidina Umar. So you go from here, normally people enter from here, and they go walking across saying salam. There are three outlets or blessed holes made there. One represents Rasulullah sallallahu, one represents Sayyidina Abu Bakr. They are in front of their blessed faces. So in the first hole, it's as though you're facing Rasulullah sallallahu. You say salam, then to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, then Sayyidina Umar, and then. And look at their adab, their respect of the Sahaba. They bury Sayyidina Abu Bakr not equal to Rasulullah sallallahu grave. Where Rasulullah sallallahu blessed chest is, that's where his blessed head is. And where Sayyidina Umar is buried, he is buried equal to the chest of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu. So he is the only companion and only person in the whole of the Ummah who is buried in the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu, Sayyidina Umar. That is his special privilege, that the only person who buried in level with the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. And their graves are witness that how close they were to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they are still close to him. And he alayhi salatu wasalam said, when we will resurrect on the day of judgment, Abu Bakr and Umar will be with me on my left and right. So they are such blessed people, and they show their status as well. That after Rasulullah is Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and then Sayyidina Umar, then Sayyidina Usman, then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And this is the Riyazul Jannah. These are blessed pillars where they have special virtues. So number one, the member of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here is the member. Number two, there is mihrab of the Prophet, where he used to lead the prayers. And this is pillar of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. As they say, they have a different significance. There is a pillar of repentance, where repentance is accepted. One of the Sahabi tied himself to this pillar in number five, and his repentance was early. And then also where Rasulullah used to meet delegations of other people who came from to meet him from different tribes and lands, such as these. So this door is called Bab-e Jibril, where Jibril Islam used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So yeah. So this is the hole which I was speaking to you about. So you'll be walking across here, saying salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying salam to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, salam to Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab. There are holes there as well, but there's no graves there. So some people think it's there. But the first one is Rasulullah, and the second one is Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and the third one is Sayyidina Umar. So it's not about golden gates, it's about these middle gate and the three holes there. Yes, there will be another person buried there, which will be Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. But he is yet in the fourth heaven, there in the or in the heavens. So that's how the graves look like. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallam here, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. So the etiquette of entering the mosque is you go enter the mosque with the right foot, do dua, pray two rakaat salat tahiyyatul masjid, which I've already mentioned to you and explained to you about the holes, the blessed outlets where you can say salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala. If you want to stay there for longer, they won't let you stay there. So it's either better to stand back and just pray salam, or stand somewhere nearby or sit a little bit distant away, and inshallah you can, because you have to give place to other people. If you stand there, then there are thousands of people blocked there, so they won't let you stand there for a long time. Okay. anyone who sends salam to the Prophet ﷺ from anywhere, Rasulullah ﷺ said, it reaches me. So this is a hadith. So this is like a satellite view of Masjid Nabawi. Here is the green dome, the Bab-e Jibreel, Babul Baqi, the door of Baqi, which faces the Baqi. Normally you enter here, this door, to say salam and walk through to actually saying salam. This is Masjid Nabawi and the graveyard of Baqi. See here. So now this is some special significance of columns, meaning these pillars in Masjid Nabawi, which we cannot go through, but inshallah you can read the special. This is one I will say about it, called Ustwe Hanana here, which is number one pillar here, just beside the member, which we can see the mark. This is a special pillar. Why? There used to be an old trunk of a date palm tree, which Rasulullah used to lean or hold it whilst giving khutbah. When someone built a member for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first time Rasulullah sat on the member, a sahaba very quiet, a pin drop silent they used to have. And suddenly they start hearing screams and weeping. They were surprised, oh, where is coming from? But they couldn't see a person. They're looking here, there, can't find a person, but could hear screams and crying. They were surprised. So until they saw Rasulullah, he came down from the minbar and touched the old dry trunk, and it slowly, like a child, stops crying. And Rasulullah said, it is this trunk crying and weeping in my separation that I used to stand beside him, and now I've been on the minbar, and this is the crying for diamonds. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the trunk that you love me, and because he is the prophet of everything, prophet of trees, prophet of leaves, prophet of animals, prophet of stones. The animal used to come and speak, the trees used to speak. So here Rasulullah sallam said to the, I give you a choice. Either I pray to Allah, you are trunk dry, you will become fresh and green and dates, and people will eat from you. Either you can become like that, or I will bury you and you be with me in Jannah and Akhirah. The trunk said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be with you in Akhirah. So it was buried, and it lives with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Barzakh. And last time someone came who's gone, he told me in the majlis of Durood and Salam, he said, I was in sleep or whatever state, I saw a tree coming from Jannah in the majlis of Durood and Salam. I thought it's a tree of light, but when I focused, it was the same tree actually, of that which came to Durood and Salam Majlis actually. So it's a special place. And it's as though what they were saying, that what was happening is that lesson is giving to us that look, this tree chose Rasulullah sallallahu and Akhirah. Why? Me and you make a choice as well. We are choosing dunya. We are choosing other people. The tree made a choice and is enjoying, and we being human beings are making wrong choices. He preferred Akhirah over dunya, Rasulullah sallallahu over other people, and we are preferring other people over Rasulullah sallallahu action than his sunnah, and preferring dunya over Akhirah. We are worse than that tree. To raat ko wo koi keh raha tha ki wo drakht bhi durood o salam ki majlis nahi diya hai, wo jannat se jo hai baata hai, yani apna hai ki ye wo drakht hai jo ab bhi, when Rasulullah sallallahu went on Mi'raj, he saw it as well. When he passed away, apne parda farmaya, when he went, his spirit went to heaven, he saw the tree welcoming him there as well. And that's how you can be as well. Dekhna, if Rasulullah sallam is giving such value to the trunk, why will he not give you this value when you are his ummah, when you are more dearer to him than the tree. Because you are human being, you are children of Adam, you are his ummah, you are insan, you are also like a trunk. And let this trunk actually bear the fruits of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not the fruit and dates of devil and shaitan. What are those? When from the body, sins and opposition to sunnah start coming, this is like you are bearing the fruit of devil and shayateen. When your body start giving and decorating itself with the prophetic ways and the sunnah and the good qualities and the righteous, it's as though you are bearing the fruits of sunnah. Anyway, that is just about one tree, pillar, and then there are other blessed pillars there as well. This is Baqi graveyard, and the Prophet ﷺ prayed for them very much. His wives, his companions are buried there. This is an overview of it anyway. Masjid Nabvi, this is Qibla, and this is Baqi. So you can see now where the Jannatul Baqi is. Overview. This is ladies section, two sections are for ladies. They pray separately there in the Prophet's mosque. And their hotel areas around. So just a summary now. Where you say salam to this Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say Abu Bakr or Umar, his member, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mihrab, and there is the tree sutoon or that pillar nearby here, the member. So we leave that. Masjid Quba is a blessed mosque which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first mosque of Islam. And he, alayhi salam, used to walk to every Saturday to pray two rakat there, and he said it is equal to Umrah. So you can do Umrah there as well by walking towards or going towards Masjid Quba, doing its ziyarah, praying two rakat as though you have gone to go on then Umrah. Masjid Quba has this fazila. This is Masjid Ghamama, Masjid Abu Bakr Siddiq. Anyway, we, inshallah, once you go there, this is summary of the Amal which I have already gone through. So, alhamdulillah, that is very briefly. Can sisters wear itar or perfume before making intention? They shouldn't wear perfume before or after. Sisters are not allowed to wear perfume when they are traveling with men anyway. Yeah. They are only allowed to wear perfume tending gathering of women only, and also for their husbands or with their mahrams. So for them, they are as though they are always in state of ihram, women, from point of view of perfume, that they shouldn't actually wear ether because that attracts people, and actually, and that can lead them to sin and themselves to sin, and also, so they don't wear perfume. And if they wear perfume, Rasulullah SAW said the best for them is actually that which is have less fragrance, meaning not very strong as such, especially when traveling with men. Meaning the perfume, anything which just don't make them so that they don't smell, as in just to neutralize, that type of thing they do. The perfumes which actually give aroma and fragrance to other people, they should avoid in the journey as such, unless they are in the group of women, staying with women, sitting with women, etc., etc. So ye hai. So as I have differentiated, they wear, but that type of it. But for ihram, in ihram they can't wear as well. It is strictly forbidden for them in ihram as it for men, and they will have to pay compensation if they do. As such. Aap koi swal karna hai to kar le. And after that, I am sitting in my room. After asr, any private matter or anything, especially start the course of self-purification, the tazkiyah, so that you can, before you go there, you can avoid sins, inshallah, if you will do that, it will help you very much with Umrah. Both you can. The head can be shaved or trimmed as well. But one fourth you have to trim. The hair, the one, the length of it. It's really not worthwhile, because if you do Umrah second time, you have to maybe shave anyway. So you are not going to save your hair anywhere. If you are doing one more Umrah, so two or three, they are going to go away anyway. So also from brothers, do get those sheets, at least those cards which can help you to avoid sins. If you can, some brothers bring those English in cards as well as we give them with this, inshallah. Haan, koi sawal karna hai to kar lein, warna phir wo khatam kar dete hain. So this Umrah actually literature, in that there will be this Umrah guide in English or Urdu, which will give you the outworld, how to do, which will, inshallah, you should read and learn the du'as. What outwardly you should do in Madinatul Munawwara, where are the places, what you should do, what you should read, how you should say salam, etc. And then the spiritual aspect, what amal you do in Urdu and English, then in the morning and evening, in this leaflet form. And then the explanation of it is in this booklet in English, and also it is in Urdu as well, available if someone wants. And then there will be six DVDs. So yes, you can buy from the brother. I think he said, kitna hai brother Bukha? £2.50. All these actually were received, I think, very, he's covering his costs. And as I said, that all this literature mostly is available free. He's not charging you because he likes to make money or anything. It's free on our website. If you can download and print yourself, you can by all means. So, but if you want a hard copy already prepared, you can, inshallah, take that as well. Astaghfirullah. Waseem, if you can bring that picture of the Gumbad Sharif, where the showing the overview, which we. If it is here. So this card, only one card, inshallah, will help you to avoid the sins of the organs, so that you can maximize benefit and give you some formula of dhikr and muraqabah, so that before you go, your heart is in receptive mode. Those people who came first time and who don't have this card, they can free get this one card. If you can put their hands up, you pass to have, most of them have, who came first time and don't have this preparation purposes, to ye le le pehle Urdu mein chahiye to Urdu mein bhi hai. Anyone want in Urdu? They have already are on the course and don't have. So yeah. And sisters also, if there are sisters who don't have, unko bhi ye ye sisters ko bhi diya hai, if they need any. Most of them will have anyway, but if they don't, so ye ko. So basically, on their English card is the seven organs. It tells you where which the sins are, and it gives you a sheet which for 30 days or for from now on you can account yourself that you are abstaining from these sins. And there is dhikr of La ilaha illallah and meditation, just to help you in that for Umrah preparation, inshallah. Any more questions? If not, if you can look at this image, this shows you, which you will not be able to see there, go inside there, that what is inside the green dome, underneath the green dome. Imagine this is the green dome. It's been removed from the like right to left, and underneath what you see is what how it is now. There is a white dome under which Rasulullah's blessed grave is. So inside view is this. There is a protective layer here around, and then there is a wall with five corners which Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, his time was built. And this white dome used to be, firstly, only this dome used to be there. There was no green dome. For centuries, there was only this dome. And after that, there was white green dome built after over it. So the Prophet ﷺ's grave and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala are below this. So once you will be coming to say salam, you will be coming from this direction and passing like this here. Passing like this here to say salam. So this is the inside view.
Namaz kitne baje? Sorry? 5 to 5?
Acha, theek hai, to waqt hone wala hai. Ha, theek hai, now is the time for prayer approaching. So, inshallah, we'll give you time to do wudu and we'll pray 5 o'clock. 5 baje padhenge taki wudu karna hai, kar lein. And سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين يا رب العالمين enable us and teach us and bless us with the guidance so that we can visit your blessed house and the city of your Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with the utmost respect and gain maximize the benefits from there. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Ahmed, the Most Merciful. Enable us truly to change our lives and be like you want us to be. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Enable us to live with Iman, die with Iman. Enable us to be in your company and the company of the pious and righteous forever and ever. Save us from the torments of hell, the evils of this world, and the punishments of Akhirah, and grant us the goodness of both worlds. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. All these people and other people who are going, enable them to learn and truly benefit from this journey. And if they are not going, still let them travel towards your pleasure and closeness wherever they may be so. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummihi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim taslima. Ameen. Wa rahmatika ya Arhamar Rahimeen.
Astaghfirullah.